Right, the title of this message is called Maintenance. I want to just apologize in advance that I feel as though I might be saying some negative things about Boston in the course of this message. And it isn't because it's more because I feel very sad about Boston. So I just want to make that disclosure at the outset. I am not being critical of it. I am just saddened. And that's why it's sort of figured in to the content of this message. So every Saturday for a very long time now, I go into Boston to meet up with some friends of mine that were teaching in the school that I taught in when I first moved to Lincolnshire. And my two friends have both retired now, and so they're not actively teaching, but we still get together just about every Saturday. And I've just been observing, I suppose, over the past several months, not just in the town, but even on my journey between Coningsby now and Boston, but certainly when I'm walking from the car park to the cafe that we have our coffee, I've just been watching as buildings have become more and more neglected and they're deteriorating. You know, you can see window frames that are eroding from weather, and they're not painted properly, so they're just dissolving. The paintwork on things is bad. We've got lots of empty buildings in Boston that are just falling apart. But also on the journey that I drive from Coningsby to Boston, I've been observing different properties where the owners are clearly like making the effort to keep everything maintained and they're doing improvements, and you can see that over time you think, oh wow, that looks really lovely, that's beautiful, or they've done that and isn't that great, and you can see it. And then you watch other buildings as you know, when you've got a journey that you do frequently, you think, oh, that one is looking really quite tired and sad, and it's sort of falling apart. So I just really started reflecting on this whole notion of maintenance, of keeping things in good repair. And it also became quite personal for me because over the past year, my son, bless him, has helped me to sort of reflect on and change my diet and exercise routine. So I started following his advice in September last year, and I've been able to lose, I think I've lost about 20 pounds, which was good, and I've been exercising regularly, and I do feel my goal was really to become a bit stronger so that if I were to fall over, I could get myself back up again and not break into pieces. And I do feel that I've achieved that, but I've reached a point now where I've kind of achieved a lot of what I'd hoped to achieve, but now I have to maintain it. I've got to keep it going. I have to have it as part of my lifestyle so that I don't go backwards and get myself right back where I started. Another similar, but not about my body, more about my home, I bought a new build home to move to here in Coningsby, which was, you know, everything is clean and shiny and new and in good repair. But things don't just stay clean and new and shiny and in good repair just on their own. So now I was looking from my bedroom window and I can see that the guttering on the garage has got a buildup of debris in it that I need to clear out, or that's going to block things and cause a problem, and just a few other things that I'm seeing. Oh, really, now over the summer holiday, now that I'm off work, I'm going to have to really make sure that I attend to those things so that things don't deteriorate, because if I don't do anything, that is what's going to happen. So it kind of was brought to a head even more so when my family were here from the States just over the past week, and I had taken them into Boston on last Saturday in the afternoon, and we wandered around. I needed to get some shopping, and then we went and had lunch, and I felt very apologetic about Boston. I thought, you know, there's so many empty buildings, and the homeless have sort of, some people have set up camp in front of what used to be Aldred's. And I was conscious, because I was seeing it through the eyes of my family who hadn't been there before. I just thought, well, this isn't a good look. But then on Monday, my son and I and my brother and his wife and daughter, we went to Lincoln. And I hadn't been in Lincoln for quite a while. I go there for the dentist, but I don't go into the actual town. And I was so pleasantly surprised. It was the contrast between what we'd seen in Boston and what we had and what I saw in Lincoln was so different. Lincoln was immaculate. It was beautiful. Everything seemed really well maintained. It was thriving. The businesses were, you know, there weren't empty shop buildings. There weren't, you know, people were going in and out of shops. And it really was, it was uplifting. I felt really encouraged just looking around. And my family really loved Lincoln. They thought it was beautiful. And it presented itself as a very beautiful place. And another thing that we visited was Bolingbroke Castle in Old Bolingbroke, because there's a family connection to that castle. But Bolingbroke Castle is a ruin. It had been a castle a long time ago, and it, you know, the framework, the boundaries and everything are there, and some of the stones are still there. But dotted around the walls of the castle, or what's left of it, are little information stations, which quite a few of them had like artist impressions of what the castle would have looked like when it was a functioning building. And it was, you know, it would have been a very grand thing. But over the centuries, it's not been maintained. There's been no reason, I suppose, for it to be maintained. And so it is actually a ruin. So all of those little pictures joined together show that unless things are maintained, they fall apart. And really, neglect is the primary cause of that. When things are neglected and not attended to, they fall apart. Now, as Christians, we know, because the Bible tells us, that there are two main areas, two key areas that need to be maintained. Jesus tells us in Matthew 22, 37 to 40, Jesus said to him, because Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment was, and Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So the entire scripture of the Old Testament could be summarized in those two commandments. Loving God and loving others, Jesus tells us, are the actions upon which the whole of the scripture is based, and therefore are priorities for us in our daily lives. 2 Corinthians 13:11 says, "Finally, brethren, farewell." This is Paul writing. "Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you." The thought of being complete, to me, connects with the idea of maintenance. We need to pursue the things that God asks us to so that we are complete in Him. Maintenance requires intentionality. We have to be aware. I don't know if you've come across it, but there's a movement about mindfulness, about being, sometimes I get children to color in things to sort of focus their minds. I know some people have adult coloring books for sort of mindfulness activities, just to calm yourself and to focus on things that are important. Eating mindfully so that we're not just wolfing through whatever comes our way, but we're thinking about what we're doing. We're doing things with intention. Excellence in any aspect of our human existence is never accidental. We can all experience seasons of motivation where we're energized by the improvements that we're engaged in making, like I was over the year following my son's advice about diet and exercise. You know, when you're seeing results and you're actively involved and it's all new and you think, this is really good and I can keep on going, and you find that motivation within you. But eventually, we reach a point where we have to learn how to maintain what's been achieved. I know Rob had spoken many weeks ago, maybe months ago now, about entropy. That law of physics, I suppose it is entropy, is that when anything is neglected or left alone, it will deteriorate, it will go backwards. Things left alone will go backwards. They will fall apart, they will decay. All you have to do is observe an abandoned building and you can see that happening, that it will gradually fall apart and decay. But this can also affect our relationships with God and with other people, as well as our physical health and our properties and our communities. Titus 3:14 reads, "And let our people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful." There's an instruction there to maintain good works. Maintaining things is hard. Sometimes you want to do things, you know, and it feels right, and yes, you can do it, and other times it's a discipline. It is not easy to maintain things over a period of time. So all of this thinking then got me wondering, well, what are the major reasons for neglect setting in, either in the way that we are pursuing our spiritual life, or the way that we're managing our physical health, or the way that we're managing our homes? And I came up with sort of four key ways in which, or reasons for which, neglect occurs. And the first one on my list, again, these are in no particular order, just as they've occurred to me, but I would say one of the big ones is that we are just too busy. I know it's hard. You have certain seasons of your life, and particularly if you're a mom and you're raising a family and you're just about managing to have meals prepared and laundry washed, and to do any major home improvements can just not really, you don't feel like there's an option because I don't have time. There isn't enough time. To maintain things means that you've got to prioritize those activities. So when life seems to sweep us away and we don't allocate time to the important things, they will suffer from neglect. The demands on us as human beings living in the 21st century can be enormous. As Christians, we need to prioritize our relationship with the Lord above all other things. And then secondly, our relationship with those God brings into our lives, all of the other people that are part of our day-to-day existence. But fortunately, when we're dealing with things on the spiritual level, we know that we have help in that. Galatians 2:19-21 tells us, "For I through the law died to the law, that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain." We can trust as believers that through faith in Christ and his grace extended to us, that we can focus on the important things, knowing that he does that work in us, that we can prioritize him and other people, and all of the other things in life that are beating at our door wanting us to attend to will be okay if we choose to pursue our relationship with God and others first. The second enemy of maintaining things that creates neglect can be that we just feel too weak, too tired, too overwhelmed. Maintenance requires stamina. It requires a certain amount of energy. My daughter Faith is an estate agent, and they often get properties that they are listing which are on the market because the owners have passed away, and they become part of a probate, just the working out of that estate of those people. And mostly, I don't even think there's an example I can think of where it's been different, but mostly when you go into the home of people who have been living there in their latter years and they passed away, they are a mess. they're a mess. They've fallen apart, you know. Things haven't been maintained. Things are dirty. Things are falling apart. And it's not been because they're bad people. And oftentimes they've lived in their homes, most of their adult life they've lived in these homes. But they reached a point in their life where they were just too weak and too tired. And it was all too much. And they just couldn't stay on top of things. 1 Corinthians 16, 13 to 14 tells us, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. Now, we may not feel brave or strong, but we're instructed to be those things. Well, how does that work? As mentioned in the Galatians reference a minute ago, we do not live in the flesh. Rather, we live by faith in the Son of God and His grace. We must seek the Lord daily for the strength and courage to do what is right and what is needful. We may not feel like it, and we may not believe that we've got the ability because we are just overwhelmed with our lives, but God promises us that we have His power at our disposal to enable us to do the right thing. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It's not about us and our strength. It's about Him and believing in faith that He will provide us with the stamina to do what we need to do. We are weak, but He is strong. My third little reason for neglect, and this one I think really connects with the state of Boston at the moment. We've lost a sense of ownership. We're not taking responsibility because we feel disconnected. Maintenance requires commitment, and it's hard to commit to something that you do not connect with. So if you've kind of become disinterested in your physical health, it's easy to just feel that, you know, it's just not a priority. You don't take a sense of ownership about your own health and well-being. I think Boston is struggling at the moment because it doesn't appear that nobody identifies that Boston is their place anymore. There's all kinds of people that have moved into the area who don't necessarily have a commitment to maintaining things there. They're happy to be there and to, I don't like to use the word exploit because it's quite a negative word, but that's a bit what happens. So they want all the benefits of being there, but not necessarily a commitment to its upkeep and making sure that it's a thriving and well-looked-after community. As Christians, we must not become disconnected from who we are. 1 Corinthians 6:20 tells us, you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We belong to God. We have reestablished a connection with Him through Jesus and what He did for us, His life, death, and resurrection. And now we have been bought with a price and we belong to God. We have got to honor His ownership of us. Again, 1 Corinthians 7, the next chapter on, verse 23, you were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. We need to remember whose we are. I feel that when I went into Lincoln, it, as a city, radiated a sense of purpose and identity. It knew who it was, and it was telling the world that was there looking at it, this is who we are, this is us. And I feel that that identity is something that maybe Boston has lost. But as Christians, that's what we need to be reminded of on a daily basis, is that we need that level of commitment because we are God's. And it's not right for us to neglect our relationship with Him and to neglect our relationship with other people. The last reason for neglect is a very human one, and that is we're lazy. It can just be straightforward laziness. We might know our priorities. We might actually have the strength to do the things that are required. We might understand that the situation is our responsibility, but we simply can't be bothered. Ecclesiastes has these words of wisdom, chapter 10, verse 18. Because of laziness, the building decays, and through idleness of hands, the house leaks. Now, that's a very practical piece of information about managing your belongings, but I think it can also be a metaphor for our spiritual lives, that if we're lazy, our relationship with the Lord will decay. We will have broken places that don't need to be broken if we just can't be bothered to maintain a connection with our Heavenly Father. As I said a bit ago, excellence is intentional. If we want to take the easy road, things will eventually fall apart. Keeping things in good repair requires effort. It's all too easy to put things off day after day because we just don't want to engage in the effort that's required to do what is right. We, as human beings, do not drift towards what is healthy. We drift towards what is unhealthy. When we just let ourselves go, that whole notion of entropy, we will drift to a negative state, not to a positive one. But there's always hope in the scriptures. If we look at Jeremiah chapter 7, 22 to 24, Israel at this point is so removed from their relationship with God. But the prophet is able to say, to speak God's word to the people, "For I did not speak to your fathers or command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices." So when God rescued the children of Israel from Egypt, his first priority wasn't setting up a system of sacrifices, and that is what Jeremiah is saying. "But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and the dictates of their evil hearts and went backward and not forward." Our walk with the Lord is a daily fight of faith. As Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:12, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Maintaining a position requires a fight. It requires that intentional determination to keep things in good repair. As believers, we must approach maintenance with a confidence in God's provision. I think if ever we believe that this is up to us and our strength and our cleverness and our resourcefulness, we can go so far with our own effort and our own strength, but it won't be enough to sustain us. The only way that we can do this is by having confidence in God's provision. When we turn to Him for help in tackling the barriers that I've just identified in those four reasons for neglect, that we know that He will do the work. We have to cling on to that in faith, believing that what He says, He will follow through on. Another prophet of the Old Testament, Ezekiel, in chapter 36, verses 33 to 36, says, "Thus says the Lord God, on the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will also enable you to dwell in the cities, and the ruins shall be rebuilt. The desolate land shall be tilled instead of lying desolate in the sight of all who pass by. So they will say, 'This land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden, and the wasted, desolate, and ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited.' Then the nations which are left all around you shall know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Just another, I've got a few here actually, which I think are just quite essential in pinning this notion down, but I'm going to go back to Jeremiah in chapter 33, 6 to 8. Behold, I will bring it health and healing. I will heal them and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. And I will cause the captives of Judah and the captives of Israel to return and will rebuild those places as at the first. I will cleanse them from all their iniquity by which they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities by which they have sinned and by which they have transgressed against me. Psalm 40, verse 11 says, do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me. If you think about preservation, that's about maintaining things, keeping things in good repair. God's loving kindness and his truth preserve us. The last in this little collection here of scriptures, but Hebrews 4, 15 to 16 says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Everything that we need to set the right priorities, to have the energy and the strength to pursue what needs to be pursued and to not be dictated to by our hearts, which sometimes just want the easy ride, just want the simple solution. Going to the Lord, to his throne of grace, means that we will be given what we need to do the right thing. But we probably won't always do the right thing because we're human. And we do succumb to all those four areas that make us neglectful of what's important in life. But we know, as his children, that we can have confidence in his forgiveness. 1 John 2, verses 1 to 2 says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. The fight of faith is a daily discipline. It enables us to do the work required properly, not just a quick fix that masks the deeper issues that we're contending with. Ezekiel warned of false prophets who tried to make the children of Israel feel better about themselves and their sin. Ezekiel writes in chapter 22, verse 28, her prophets plastered them with untempered mortar, seeing false visions and divining lies for them, saying, thus says the Lord God, when the Lord had not spoken. It's very easy to be lured by quick fixes. Going back to my daughter and her estate agent work, but sometimes they have properties that the home improvements that the homeowners have made have actually decreased the value of the property because they're done so badly. They've just been done without skill, quickly to cover up a problem, but basically it will require a complete stripping out of those repairs and having it all done properly again for anybody who wanted to buy the property and have it habitable. We can be lured by quick fixes, untempered mortar that gets spread over us. Jesus himself picks up this theme when addressing the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, warning that the cleansing of our hearts is the real work of maintaining a healthy relationship with God. Matthew 23, verses 26 to 28 says, Jesus is speaking, blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." Maintenance is essential. Neglect results in decay in every aspect of our lives, but certainly in our relationship with God and others. But this is a daily activity of turning to Him through prayer and our reading of His Word and trusting in Him to do the work in and through us. That's that fight of faith. It's going to Him in faith, believing that He will enable us to do what is right to do. I'm going to finish with this passage from Psalm 127, verse 1. "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain." Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the teaching that you've provided me, Lord, to help me prioritize my relationship with you and my relationship with other people. And it's not easy. Doing the work on a daily basis, day after day, week after week, month and year after year, Lord, it is hard. But we know that we can come to your throne of grace daily and receive your mercy and your strength daily to enable us to do the good work that you've set before each of us to do. I ask, Lord, that you just help to encourage anybody who might be listening to this message to know that you are so faithful and you are so powerful, and our job is to come to you for your provision, which you are only too happy to give to us. We thank you, Lord, in your Son's precious and holy name. Amen.